Hello, everybody. My name is Jake Shrekas. I'm with USDA ARS now. This research was actually done at Virginia Tech. It was the final chapter of my dissertation. So we were looking at the effect of dolomite and micronutrient amendments on phosphorus uptake efficiency and phosphorus form during the production of containerized crepe myrtle, Hygroscomia netges. So why are we concerned with phosphorus? Our first talk today kind of touched on a little bit on this, but in terms of water runoff. But first, phosphorus is the limiting nutrient for eutrophication. We know that eutrophication is detrimental to freshwater ecosystems, and it's actually in freshwater ecosystems, phosphorus is typically the limiting nutrient for eutrophication, and in saltwater, it's nitrogen. We know that agriculture is a primary source of phosphorus in surface waters, and for that reason, there's been a lot of increase in government regulation and implementation of mandatory nutrient management plans, and we can really expect to continue to see that in the future. And for as far as containerized nursery crop production, about 10 to 70% of the phosphorus fertilizer that we apply ends up in the effluent. And these studies, I got this information from, all use a controlled-release fertilizer, which tends to, plants tend to have a better phosphorus uptake efficiency than if you were to use a liquid fertilizer. And most of this is due to poor phosphorus retention of the organic container substrates that we use, such as pine bark, and then, of course, the frequent irrigation, as our first speaker spoke about. So phosphorus uptake efficiency of container grown crops is about 10 to 54%. So about 10 to 45% of what we apply actually ends up in the crop, which is obviously not very good. And of course, we would expect that if up to 70% of what we're applying ends up in the effluent, the leachate. So just a few ways that we can improve phosphorus use efficiency. Most research has been done on precision irrigation and fertilization. For example, making sure that you're maintaining a leaching fraction of 0.1 to 0.15 in terms of fertilization. Species-specific fertilization, of course, will increase your phosphorus uptake efficiency. A lot of research has also been done on phosphorus-sorbing amendments. Probably the most research has been done on calcined clay products, but there has also been some research on using goethite, hematite, different iron oxides, and then alumina, and then even aluminum sulfate. Of course, there are some issues. Of course, there's that fear of aluminum toxicity, so these haven't been widely adopted. And then with the calcined clay products, just the cost of shipping is probably one of the reasons they haven't been widely adopted by the industry yet. Now, probably the most common amendment that we add to nursery crops or container substrates used for nursery crop production is dolomite and micronutrients, or a micronutrient fertilizer. And there are certainly components in both of these amendments that could affect sorb phosphorus. So dolomite, of course, is calcium magnesium carbonate. Dolomite can actually interact with phosphorus with two different mechanisms. One is precipitation as the dolomite dissolves. Free calcium magnesium can precipitate with phosphate, forming precipitates such as hydroxyapatite. Then you can also have some sorption to the actual mineral, the dolomite mineral, forming calcium magnesium surface complexes. Micronutrient fertilizers, and this just applies for like your soluble sulfate-based micronutrient fertilizers. You can have phosphorus precipitation with like the iron component or even the manganese component. And then sometimes, actually, these micronutrient fertilizers tend to have a lot of calcium and magnesium, which is something that I kind of learned doing this research. So micronutrient fertilizers aren't necessarily all micronutrients, so macronutrients as well. So the objective of this research was to determine the effect of dolomite micronutrient amendments when added to a pine bark-based substrate on total phosphorus versus orthophosphate phosphorus concentrations in pore-through extracts. So that's total phosphorus versus just the plant-available form. Modeled phosphorus solid phases in the substrate solution. So what precipitates could we be seeing in the substrate solution? And then, of course, phosphorus uptake efficiency. And we used crepe myrtle, Lagerstromia, Natchez. And we used Natchez crepe, or we used crepe myrtle because it's the number one produced flowering containerized nursery crop. Let's see, flowering deciduous crop in the U.S. And it has a relatively fast growth rate. So again, we used Natchez crepe myrtle as our crop. We incorporated a 3 to 4 month controlled release fertilizer into a pure pine bark substrate, and we had four amendment treatments. We had a control with no micronutrients or dolomite. We had a dolomite only treatment, a micro max only treatment. Micromax was our micronutrient fertilizer, and then a dolomite plus micromax at the same rates as our single component treatments. These plants were irrigated for 91 days using pressure compensating spray stakes, and we adjusted the irrigation volume weekly to achieve a leaching fraction of 0.2. So we did. We performed weekly pore-through extracts. We measured total phosphorus and orthophosphate in these extracts, as well as a pretty much everything you can possibly imagine being in an extract from a pine bark-based substrate. And that's what you see here, dissolved organic carbon, boron, so on and so forth. And that information right there just went into our model, our chemical speciation model, so we could see what type of precipitates we might be seeing in the substrate solution. And then we also measured pH and EC for that model as well. And then at termination, we severed the shoots. We measured shoot and root dry weight. And then we got total nutrient content in those shoots and roots, and then remaining nutrients in the fertilizer, which allowed us to calculate phosphorus uptake efficiency. The modeling, the chemical speciation program we used was Visual MinTech. It's a freeware chemical equilibrium model for the calculation of metal speciation and solubility equilibria. Okay, so the first graph here is just total phosphorus versus orthophosphate phosphorus. On the y-axis we have phosphorus concentration. On the x-axis we have time. The red lines are the total phosphorus and the blue are orthophosphate phosphorus. So as you can see, most of our total phosphorus is orthophosphate phosphorus. So, and it's at least 70% of the total phosphorus is orthophosphate. Now, the exception to that is with the dolomite plus micros treatment. There, just for the first about 55 days, about 40 to 65% of the total phosphorus is orthophosphate. All right, so that means that there's a portion, at least at the beginning of the study, in that treatment, that where the phosphorus in the substrate solution was not plant available. But again, for the most part, 70 to 83% of the total phosphorus was orthophosphate. Okay, so this is saturation indices indicate your whether a particular compound is saturated with respect to the solid phase. So a positive saturation index would indicate that you could have thermodynamically possible to have formation of a precipitate. The only two possible precipitates we found in the substrate solution were actually manganese phosphate and a hydroxyapatite, so a calcium phosphate. And I know I typically don't like showing tables in a presentation like this. It's the only way I could figure out how to do it. Basically, what I want to highlight here is that the treatment with the highest saturation indices was the dolomite plus micromax treatment. Although we found that all four treatments, you could have some kind of manganese phosphate precipitate. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that, about the manganese phosphate here in just a second. It's highly dependent on pH. The hydroxyapatite formation is also highly dependent on pH. And the dolomite plus micros treatment has slightly lower pH, just about by 0.2 units. And because of that, we tended to have a fewer occurrences of a positive saturation index. So this is manganese in the substrate solution over time. And what you notice is the micros treatment obviously had much, much higher manganese concentrations. But if we go back to that, if we go back to the saturation indices, the saturation index for the dolomite treatment for the manganese phosphate precipitate is actually much higher. So it just goes to show that the pH is way more important than the actual manganese concentration in the substrate solution in terms of a manganese phosphate precipitate forming. All right, this is orthophosphate concentrations over time. Just wanted to highlight, I know there's a lot of information on this graph, but I just wanted to highlight a few things here. Notice that the dolomite treatment actually had higher phosphorus concentrations in the substrate solution at about 60 days, and what was happening is these plants were becoming very nutrient deficient, which had poor health, and so they weren't absorbing as much phosphorus. But at all but three of our sampling dates, we had a significantly lower phosphate concentration in the substrate solution in the dolomite plus micros treatment compared to the control. So all but that gray shaded line, we actually had lower phosphate concentrations in that treatment. And the dolomite plus micros treatment reduced orthophosphate phosphorus by 64%. Now, is that due to greater uptake by healthier plants or an actual nutrient interaction? So, if you look at dry weight, we did have higher dry weight in the micros or the dolomite plus micros treatment compared to the control. But when we look at phosphorus uptake, there's actually no difference between the control, the micros treatment, and the dolomite plus micros treatment. So basically, despite the 64% lower orthophosphate concentrations in the substrate solution, phosphorus uptake was not hindered by those treatments. So, and then phosphorus uptake efficiency, phosphorus uptake efficiency was unaffected by that dolomite plus micros treatment, despite having lower phosphorus concentrations in the substrate solution. I just wanted to show you an example of what the dolomite treatment plants look like. I'm looking pretty rough. Few conclusions: the dolomite plus micros treatment again reduced the pore through phosphate concentrations without affecting phosphorus uptake for 90 days. Most of the total phosphorus was orthophosphate in the substrate solution, at least when the fertilizer was releasing from the control, or when the phosphorus was releasing from the controlled release fertilizer. Of course, healthier plants improve phosphorus uptake. That's pretty obvious, but that's what the data show as well. And so we're thinking that amending dolomite with micronutrients amending substrates with dolomite and micronutrients could be an automatic best management practices for growers, even if the actual growth of the plant is unaffected by these amendments. These are the funding agencies. This is also another product of the Clean Water Grant. HRI also helped fund this research, VNLA, and then, of course, USDA, ARS. That, any questions? Sorry, when you stood up, I thought I was out of time, so I was really, oh, sorry. So I was really rushing through that end there. Yeah.
So the take-home message for growers is that?
Yes.
Dolomite lime and micros is the best time to practice?
And they're already doing that. So So basically the point of this is there's been some research, there's been a lot of research showing that, you know, maybe you don't need to amend your substrate with a micronutrient fertilizer unless you add dolomite. And if you add dolomite, you certainly have to add your micronutrient fertilizer. So I guess what I'm getting at is that if you've got that option, and we know that plant growth isn't really going to be affected, and been doing it anyway, and you know that you're going to be potentially reducing phosphorus leaching from the containers, then keep doing it, and it's the best management practice. Does that kind of see what I'm getting at? Yes. Any effect in what time?
Your bloom, time of bloom or number of blooms.
Oh, blooms.
Yeah.
Oh. In this particular research, no, we didn't see any effects, but we also didn't get to the point of blooming. We started this experiment in early spring. Crape myrtle bloom in late summer, at least in Virginia. So we didn't quite get to that point. But no, I'm not sure of the effect of dolomite and micronutrients on bloom. Any other questions? Okay.